It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Head of the pack, all the way in, slam dunk.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a interesting Tuesday edition of Overtime. That was absolutely something last night for Monday Night Football. Congratulations, I guess, to the Minnesota Vikings. Man, that was fun for your team, or was it? Did you tune out? Did you break your TV at halftime? I hope you didn't, because the second half, particularly the fourth quarter, was absolutely a juice that was worth the squeeze, and that juice is pretty darn sweet, with J.J. McCarthy authoring one hell of a start to an NFL career. I'll give him that, a hat tip there. I'm not happy about it, but credit where credit is due. J.J. McCarthy, a baller last night, a redemptive figure, a hero for the Minnesota Vikings, and that is a season opener, a career starter, and an emphatic moment the Viking fans will not soon forget, regardless of the remainder of the season, regardless of the career arc for J.J. McCarthy, which feels pretty darn good this morning on this Tuesday, September 9th. That was one heck of a way to start it, and that was the bearsiest, bear way to start a season I have ever seen in my life. You go to the Great Plains Zoo, they got three, count them, one, two, three different kinds of bears. I don't think there is anywhere near as bear-y as what we saw last night in Chicago for the Chicago Bears, a franchise that is much maligned, always putrid, and continues to invent ways to absolutely blow it. What were you doing last night? Clock management late, play calling late, turnovers galore, a blocked punt, missed field goal, a field goal you made by about an inch, yucky. Icky, nasty, downright awful start to the season for Chicago. Then at halftime and at the end of the third quarter, had people saying, wow, the Bears are beating the you-know-what out of the Minnesota Vikings right now. How about this? Everybody going to grab another beverage in Soldier Field. But hold on. Hold my beer, because the Minnesota Vikings come back. J.J. McCarthy looks pretty darn mean, angry, focused, and fiery. Kevin O'Connell getting fist bumps on the sideline, and the Minnesota Vikings get a big, huge win out of the jaws of a nasty, yucky, disappointing defeat. Minnesota, the better team last night, and they are here to stay. They are a contender, and J.J. McCarthy looked the part late at halftime. I heard it this morning. I love this. Going around shopping for little bits and pieces here and there and in show prep today. Heard it this morning from a Bear fan. We had that kid, J.J. McCarthy, 22-year-old kid, looking like he was lost at the mall looking for his mama through three quarters. And then you flip the switch, things change, and you never know what is the piece of momentum that leads to an explosion, a catalyst. And it was a missed field goal for Cairo Santos that would have put the Bears up 20-6 late in the game. My wife came out from putting our youngest to bed and said, wow, the Bears are you-know-what and whipping up on those Minnesota Vikings. And I said, yeah, this feels like a 40-0 ball game right now. Cairo Santos misses the kick. I look over at my beautiful wife and I say, the door's now open, though. We'll see. I think Minnesota's got a shot in this one, and boy, did they. They come back and win, and Viking fans, if you're beating your chest, if you're talking loudly around the water cooler today, I'm going to say this, and I do not like saying this. You deserve it, and that was one heck of a way to start a career and start a season in 2025. Major League Baseball leading off the scorecard. Before we go there, our show log today, we're talking South Dakota High School volleyball with Coach Les Schroeder here in about 20 minutes on today's show. A whip around kind of segment. Major League Baseball, college football, a sprinkle of tennis, and more. We'll also hit on Dings and Dents, brought to you by Wayne and Mary's. They're celebrating 55 years. this year in the Sioux Empire, and this month, all month long, several great specials at Wayne and Mary's, two Sioux Falls-based locations, WayneandMarys.com for all of your top-tier nutritional advice and health needs in the 605. Hour two, headlines, highlights, NFL latest. McCarthy pens a great first chapter after a really yucky first few pages that may have bordered on illegible. McCarthy comes back and he's everybody zero today. Power rankings, are the Vikings in the top 10? Yes, they are. Don't yell at me. They are in my top 10. Power rankings making their debut for week two at 12:20. And we round out today's show talking USD Coyote football with head coach Travis Johansson, who has his team out to an 0-2 start, frustrating loss at Lamar. But we'll ask the coach about momentum, about redemption, about what it takes and what needs to go on between the ears this week ahead of an important Ag Appreciation Day home opener down in Vermilion. 1 o'clock start, wear white if you're going to go. If you don't make it out tonight, listen to the call on the Coyote Sports Network from Learfield. And even easier than that, if you're on the move, you're at church, you're doing something out and about on Saturday, grab it on your phone right now, the Varsity Network app. I can't tell you enough how many times I'm sitting on the back porch, I'm working through some honey-do list, I'm at the hardware store doing something crazy on a Saturday, or I'm out working under the car, and I got the Varsity Network app. Hey, I wonder how the Badgers are doing. Boop, there it is. I wonder how this team's doing. You click it, it's right there on your phone, the Varsity Network app. And I do not have any financial incentive to mention that. I'm just letting you know that app is life-changing. Let's get into the scorecard. Major League Baseball Finals. Cleveland all over division rival Kansas City last night, 10-2. Guardians just a smidge better in the standing, 73-70 is their record. Cubbies lost in Atlanta, 4-1. Texas over Milwaukee, 5-0. And the Minnesota Twins. How about a night for Minnesota pro sports? They get the job done. Royce Lewis homecoming, and he digs the long ball. 1-0.
Swung on and hit well. Center field. That ball is deep. Teodosio's at the base of the wall in front of the rocks. He leaps. Did he grab it? No. Home run. No ball in the glove. And Royce Lewis, welcome home. A two-run shot, and the Twins are on top.
So certainly a big night. Royce Lewis had two long balls and four RBI in the victory. Here's Royce himself dubbing it the best night ever.
Oh, it was the best night ever. It was awesome. You know, you can't write this stuff up. You can't make it up. It's so amazing, and I'm just blessed to have that opportunity.
You know, at times this year and for the majority of the season, it's been a pretty frustrating one for Royce Lewis. Here's manager Rocco Baldelli on the young star and seizing the moment last night in a 12-3 road win.
Huge day for him. He looked really sharp and focused, even pregame. You know, I think the emotion of being here out in California around his family, he had a big contingent sitting directly across from us in the dugout, so we could see them right behind Royce while he's hitting, and they were pretty fired up. And you could see it coming back to the dugout, how it made him feel to be able to go out there and do what he did. It was one of those days that you don't forget. He did a real nice job out there.
Twins manager Rocco Baldelli with that win. Minnesota still miles away from postseason contention. They're not going to the postseason. 64-80, the record, but a sweet one late in the season last night in a win in Los Angeles. Other finals, Seattle over St. Louis 4-2, and the Rockies lose game number 104 of the season, 3-1 against the Dodgers on the road. Colorado 40-104. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, here's the matchups concerning our area teams. Royals at Guardians 5:40. Getting us started. Tigers at Yankees. Braves host the Cubs. White Sox host the Rays. Brewers at Rangers. Cardinals at Mariners. Rockies at the Dodgers. And the Twins do it again in L.A. against the Angels. 8 o'clock pregame ahead of an 8:38 anticipated start time from L.A. Now, Monday Night Football, a snooze fest. Ugly game. 17-6 at the end of the third quarter. The Chicago Bears looked pretty darn decent. Caleb Williams is a lot faster than we thought he was, although makes you nervous when he's running around, doesn't he? And it all changed in the fourth quarter as J.J. McCarthy got one touchdown pass, then two touchdown passes, then he takes it in on a naked boot out to the right and gets into the end zone. Here's McCarthy himself on bouncing back from some early struggles last night to author a comeback and his first victory as an NFL starter.
You never want to earn wisdom. that way. But it just brought me straight back to TCU when I had that first one early on in the game and then the second one later. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it sucks. It's one of the worst things you could do as a quarterback, but you can't do anything about it. You got to focus on the next play. You know, defense kept us in it the whole time, so it was just on our shoulders to go out there and execute and, you know, play as one and, you know, move on from that. You know, that's one of those things I don't really hang on, and I was, you know, really grateful the way Coach McCown and Coach O'Connell handled it, and it was everyone on the same page. All right, that happened. Next play.
And certainly that next play mentality led to the Minnesota Vikings getting back in the game and winning the game in Chicago, and the Bears fans are not happy this morning. They're grumpy Bears, woke up from hibernation. Oh, no, we suck again. Yes, you do in Chicago. Here's head coach Kevin O'Connell on his quarterback leading the great comeback last night.
There is a big picture plan that, you know, you hope to, you know, not have this chapter be the first chapter of needing to bring your team back so significantly after a really tough start. But, yeah, this is, I mean, there's no way to deny we don't win this game unless JJ plays the way he did in the second half and, most importantly, kept the belief of his football team behind him. And now we know it's possible. So, you know, you hope to not be in these circumstances very often. You know, this team's made of the right stuff. Players have built something special within that locker room and on that sideline. And I'm just very, very proud of them. And you have to be so proud of JJ, you know, leading the group back.
And a lot of wives this morning here in South Dakota, Minnesota, waking up and saying, honey, I wish you looked at me like the way you looked at JJ McCarthy last night. That's what happened last night. A lot of Viking fans in love with their young quarterback, the Chicago Bears. Maybe not so much, a little bit less with Caleb Williams. He looked good in the first half, maybe even very good by Bears standards in the first half. But the fourth quarter, everything in Chicago came unglued, missed field goal, blocked punt, and they couldn't really get it going late. Caleb Williams, couple questionable throws and uninspiring final series, to say the least. They had a illegal formation, and then they had a lateral play where they managed to accomplish one lateral that landed on the ground and ended the game. Here's head coach Ben Johnson, who snatched defeat from the jaws of victory last night.
Obviously a disappointing way to start the season there for us. Have a 17-6 lead and then see it go the way it did there in the fourth quarter. You know, we said going into week one that the team that would make the least number of mistakes would win the game. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong side of that. We made too many there late in the game, myself included. There were a number of things that I could have done better, a number of things that a number of guys could have done better. When you look down at the stat sheet and you see 12 penalties, that's got to get cleaned up in a hurry. And yet we've been saying that all training camp as well. So, you know, we'll find a way to get that done. It's going to be a collective effort.
And that's Chicago Bears head coach Ben Johnson. Now for a Caleb Williams grayed out. A lot of varying opinions here. Jeff Saturday saying Caleb looked really good in half number one, but not the case in the second half of the game.
You think about the habits you develop as a player, and especially a young player. That's what Ben Johnson is hoping to work out of Caleb Williams. And it's hard to do because you do revert back. Like, whether we want to or not, we revert back to the things that we did last year. And so you saw Caleb do that a little bit in the second half. But what O'Connell is doing for McCarthy, that's what Ben Johnson will do for Caleb. It just is going to take time.
And I got to say, in the first half, Caleb was getting the football out quickly, zipping it around. And it is that Ben Johnson offense. Step back, throw the football. Don't worry about the pressure. You get it out of your hand, pressure's going to be non-existent. Now, Caleb Williams did have several moments in the first half, like we're seeing on ESPN TV, where he ran around and around and around, made people miss, and frustrated that Vikings pass rush. And he was the team's leading rusher last night. But in the second half, it was a tale of a different game. The Vikings pass rush got home. Corners locked it down. Caleb a little bit more off target. So Caleb Williams grading out, I don't know, whatever you want to say, C plus, B, B minus, depending upon your purview. JJ McCarthy was an absolute F early on in the game, but that changed in the fourth quarter. And here's Dan Graziano on the benefits around JJ McCarthy that allow him to succeed in Minnesota.
He has been in that program with that awesome coaching infrastructure with Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, all those great coaches they have on the offensive side of the ball. He didn't play last year because he was hurt, but he's in every meeting. He practiced in training camp before he got hurt. He has had a year of development, even though he wasn't playing, that appears to have been more beneficial to him than the year that Caleb Williams had in Chicago last year when he started every single game.
Yeah.
But coaching turnover, etc. So that matters a great deal. You talk about Kevin O'Connell and building a culture culture, right? And building that belief. We talk all offseason, are you worried about the Vikings changing quarterbacks at 1-4? No, because we believe in Kevin O'Connell. The key thing to understand is, so do they. Those players and those coaches are of that culture that he has built there, and that's why they're able to win no matter who the quarterback.
You know, it's really tough to say, just like I'm sure for you Viking fans last week, it was tough to say, gosh, the Packers got so much better with Micah Parsons. That makes me sick. It makes me sick to say that I think the Vikings have something in J.J. McCarthy. Last night, you watched the ball game. You watch how he responded, looking like a ticked off Anakin Skywalker walking to the bench after a big play. He gets the job done. And the most telling thing about J.J. McCarthy is the way his teammates treat him and the way his head coach treats him and his quarterback coach there in Josh McCown. He scampers into the end zone, bowls over and through and under T.J. Hockenson to get to the end zone. Everyone up on the sideline, and then the post-game locker room video. I can't stand the team, but I'll tell you, inspiring stuff. They love the young quarterback, and this is a good, could be great team for Minnesota this year. Not to overreact as we do for the Bears or the Vikings, but your takeaway last night is the trajectory pretty high for J.J. McCarthy after a horrifically bad first three quarters that turned into a really great and not soon forgotten opener as your team starting quarterback last night for Minnesota in Chicago. Let's round out the scorecard now. Next up, Thursday Night Football, Commanders and Packers. Big game from Green Bay, 7:15 on Prime Video. Packers a field goal and a hook favorite in the contest. And on Sunday, Bears at Lions, Broncos at Colts, Eagles at Chiefs. Vikings tee it up for Sunday Night Football in their home opener against the Kirk Cousins-less Atlanta Falcons. He's on the bench behind Michael Penix. 7:20 on NBC, Minnesota a 4.5-point favorite in the game. And the Monday Night Football doubleheader this weekend, over the long weekend, Bucks at Texans, 6 o'clock, Chargers at Raiders, 9 o'clock, and thank you to the NFL, finally, for staggering these games. It's not 6 o'clock, 6:30, it's not 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it is 6 and 9, so hopefully, we'll see the fourth quarter, and then flip on over and say, sorry, honey, I'm back on the couch for another 3 hours. One news item from the NFL to get to, from the mouth of Chris Canty, the New York Giants are not making a quarterback change, and why not? Here's Kenny.
I don't know that he's going to fail. The Giants have him at wide receiver and Malik Nabers. They got a 1,000-yard running back in Tyrone Tracy. They got an all-pro left tackle and Andrew Thomas when he's healthy. I don't know that the Giants stink as much as Russell Wilson is done. And he's been done for a while now. And they just keep re-racking this dude, thinking that it's going to look different, and it's not. The only chance that you have of being competitive is by putting Jackson Dart out there, a guy that's capable of making everybody better based on the physical talents that he has. I'm not saying he is guaranteed to be great. I'm just saying that I know the Giants are going to be bad with Russell Wilson continuing to be the starter.
And the Giants are probably going to be bad with Jackson Dart, but at least one of their mission critical projects of the season, find out if this dude can be a quarterback, a serviceable NFL quarterback. Maybe they get it done sooner than later, but Russell Wilson will be the team starter for week number two. Rounding out the scorecard, NASCAR race this weekend is at Bristol. It's race number two of the postseason. Saturday, 6:30 on USA, WNBA basketball, Atlanta all over Connecticut, 87-62. Tonight in the WNBA, Lynx at the Fever, 6:30 on ESPN. Sky at the Aces, 14 straight wins for Becky Hammond in Las Vegas. They're going for number 15 tonight at home. 9 o'clock start time. And college football to know about, Thursday night, NC State at Wake Forest. Pretty nice ACC rivalry tilt, 6:30 on ESPN. Friday, Colorado at Houston, K-State at Arizona, and your local teams on Saturday, Nebraska home to Houston Christian, 11 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Northern Colorado, it's the home opener for South Dakota. They're in town in Vermilion, 1 o'clock on ESPN+. Plus, USF at Bemidji State, also a 1 o'clock start time. Augie visiting UMary up in Bismarck at 2 o'clock. Iowa State at Arkansas State, 3 o'clock Saturday on ESPN2. Drake at South Dakota State, a 6 o'clock kick time from Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium, ESPN+. Plus, with the broadcast, in last UMass at Iowa, 6:30, and Minnesota out to sunny California to battle the California Bears. It's the 9:30 start time on ESPN. That's your scorecard, and we're going to dive right in to some SD prep talk right now and into the break. We got Les Schroeder in studio with a volleyball preview. Quick look at your football volleyball rankings before we do go to break. AAA football, Lincoln remains the top team, followed by BV, Jefferson, O'Gorman, and Harrisburg. AA has a new top team, and it's the Yankton Bucks. They move up from number 2 to number 1. Pierre took a loss over the weekend, so they're down from number 1 to number 4. In order for AA, it's Yankton T, Sturgis, Pierre, and Huron, and Single A, Sioux Falls Christian, followed by Lenox, Madison, Del Rapids, and West Central. Your other top teams, 11B, it's Elk Point Jefferson, 9AA, new top team, Freeman, Marion, Freeman Academy, your top team, Elkton Lake Benton falls from 1 to 3 in the rankings. 9AA, still dominated by Wall at 3-0, Warner on their heels, also with an unblemished record, and 9B, Sully Buttes, your top team, with a 2-0 mark. South Dakota High School Volleyball in Class AA right here in our neck of the woods. Harrisburg, the top team, 3-0 the record. All the first place votes, all 15 of them in this week's poll. They're followed by BV, O'Gorman, Watertown, and Washington. And in Single A, Del Rapids with a record of 7-1 is your top team, followed by Sioux Falls Christian, Dakota Valley, Rapid City Christian, and Clark Willow Lake. And Class B, Chester, your top team, Warner, Northwestern, Burke, and Gable Vollen going to round out the top five there. South Dakota prep polls for football and volleyball. We'll get those stories up later on today at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. We'll get our first break out of the way here, back with a South Dakota prep preview for the volleyball season. Again, we're underway. We're bump setting and spiking it already, but a long season ahead. The keys and a preview for a few area teams with Les Schroeder. He's in studio joining us next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
So convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
We are off and running on this Tuesday, September 9th edition of Overtime. And I got to tell you, always a blast to see the bright, sunshiny face of Les Schroeder, who joins us in studio. A little pep in your step and a little purple on you today. Nice Vikings jersey, my friend. Welcome back into the show. How the heck are you doing? I would imagine you're doing a lot better now than you were at about, 9:30 last night. What do you think?
Yes, 9:30, I was about ready to throw things at my TV. But, you know, with that pick six that the Bears scored, that touchdown, I was going to turn off my Vikings, but I'm glad they turned it around and, you know, played a great third and fourth quarter.
Let's talk about J.J. McCarthy. Oh. Moxie comes to mind. Little Baker Mayfield in his game. Little Tom Brady in his game. Whatever craziness you want to throw out there, it's one game. But pretty inspiring stuff in that fourth quarter.
It's the Kevin O'Connell tree. You know, I mean, look at Sam Donald last year, 14-3, and then a playoff pickup. But, you know, he's had his way with quarterbacks, and I think he can do the same thing with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I'm a big fan of J.J. I mean, I watched, because we went to a preseason, me and my brother-in-law went to a preseason game against the Raiders last year, and that's when he got hurt. And we saw him get hurt, and we're like, oh, I mean, but before then, I mean, he was hitting players left and right, and looking like he was looked last night in the fourth quarter. And so I was excited to see, and he's got all that. He had all last year to build off that. Yes, he didn't play, but he learned so much from McConnell in the coach's office. You know, Coach McConnell gave him a whole bunch of stuff to do and studied under Sam Donald. And so I think that paid off too, and it's only going to make him better.
And again, at any level of football, you get hurt, you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do. If you want to buy in, you want to sit on the couch, you want to do the bare minimum. Pretty evident that J.J. McCarthy spent last year doing the right things, and that leads to a lot of success here early on. Vikings 1-0, Bears 0-1. Give me a comment on the Bears. Do you have any Bear fans in your life that be a little ticked off today?
I do. My old roommate was a Bears fan. And so, you know, I mean, poor Jason. I mean, I'm sorry that we beat up on your Bears. But, you know, it was I'm hoping that they can recover from this and move forward.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a long season ahead. Week one's funky. And there were very few teams that looked awesome in week one. You could argue the Packers did. I would say the defense did. The offense in Green Bay was not awesome on Sunday. So there's a lot to work through for every single team. But Minnesota 1-0, Chicago 0-1. Les Schroeder, our guest here on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. SD Preps off and running for football season. Volleyball underway. Let's get a little preview of the volleyball season, some early season storylines, people to watch. Wax poetic about South Dakota High School volleyball, why don't you?
Well, it's my favorite time of the year. I watch hardcore the T-Titans. Obviously, that's where I'm from. That's where I live. the T-Titans are off to an 0-3 start. We had our first home game against the, you know, number 14th ranked in the country.
Wow.
The Harrisburg Tigers in AA. They're coming off a, 79. They just beat us for their 80th game in a row. Three-peat, three-time state champion, going for a four-peat. And so, you know, they played the T-Titans last Thursday night, and they won 25-9, and 25-9. So, you know, I mean, they were just warming up. I mean, I think they are the team in the AA class, I mean, above all everybody else, of course. And I just feel that they, when I was talking to their coach before the game, they have 30-some girls that are playing for Kairos, that club team here in Sioux Falls. They have, she was naming college player after college player. She had, I think at one time or another, she had past players, 22 to 25 players that have played college at some place or another. Obviously, her big start was Sammy Slaughter when she went to Nebraska and won a championship down there. And so, you know, Harrisburg is doing it right down there. And so that's a good start to go. I think there's other teams in AA that could. Brandon Valley got a set from them the very first game of the year, early in Brandon Valley. They did end up winning 3-1, of course, to keep their streak going. But Brandon Valley's okay. O'Gorman.
In the mix.
In the mix. Yep. As well as Washington. Roosevelt. Well, Roosevelt's kind of struggling right now, but they made it to state last year. They got I want to give a shout-out to one of the girls on their team who I work with, their mother. Her mother, Aubrey Terrell. She plays at Roosevelt. But let's see. I'm excited for and Harrisburg is going to a national tournament in a couple weeks here in Las Vegas to play the number 3 team in the country, Marymount. Marymount is out of California, and they're 9-0 and really good too. And I think it's, let's see, I did get this information right. I want to get it right. Let's see. I'll find it. We'll let you track it down here.
Harrisburg 3-0 on the season. They're tops in the rankings. BV 2, O'Gorman 3, Watertown at 4, and Washington 5. Others receiving votes. Rapid City Stevens is out to an 8-0 start in AA. Your top team for single A, Del Rapids, and B is Chester at 7-0. Did you hunt that down?
Yes, I did find it. Okay, so Harrisburg is going out to Vegas September 18th. They're playing Marymount at 4:30. Then they'll play on Friday, exhibition matches. Let's see, they start at 1 o'clock, and then they don't have any, they're going to play another team. Yeah, I think another Durango team in Vegas, and that's to be announced yet. And then they start, like, a round robin kind of thing on Saturday morning. Again, teams to be announced there, too. So Saturday, so the 18th through the 22nd of September is when they're going to Vegas.
And beneficial experience, I'm sure, for Harrisburg, top team in AA. Les Schroeder is our guest here on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. When it comes to single A, B, you got anything for us in terms of scout and team and players and storylines?
Well, Del Rapids is the team right now. I mean, Sioux Falls Christian obviously is usually the headline around this year. Went in 13 out of the last 15 state titles. Del Rapids got him last year. Del Rapids is trying to go for a two-peat. They got one girl by the name of Henry is her name, outside hitter that's really, really good. They're 7-1, like you said, in the polls earlier. And so they lost to Watertown. Watertown, obviously, is number 4 in AA. So, and Watertown's kind of a surprise this year. They usually start out hot and then kind of fade towards the end. So hopefully they can maybe put it together and make a state tournament run.
And again, South Dakota prep polls will be up later this afternoon. ESPNSiouxFalls.com, your top team in the volleyball world in AA across South Dakota. Harrisburg Tiger Volleyball 3-0, the record. Les Schroeder, anything else volleyball from you, Les? As I'm sure you're already looking forward to week 2 for the Minnesota Vikings Atlanta Falcons.
I know, no Kirk Cousins playing, but you know he can watch us play. But no, I'm excited for that. The state tournament obviously is in November. Looking forward to that. There's some good games tonight. Lincoln 4-2 at Brandon Valley 4-2. The T-Titans go up to Brookings tonight to play the Brookings Bobcats. Here, the Tigers, we're speaking of all of them, mm-hmm. They were on the road to start the season at Brandon Valley, at Yankton, and like the 6 mile jaunt to tee.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get their first game at home tonight. So you get to see them at home against the Mitchell Colonels, who are 4-2. So it should be a good game to start their home season. They got Gabby Zacharyson, who is an outside hitter who's going to go to college. I can't remember where the coach told me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Samuels. Let's see, what's her first name? Jocelyn Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
Over 200 set assists, and she's only a sophomore.
Wow.
So, yes, I mean, they are stacked already and just getting going, really. 3-0 start. Let's see, who else? Jefferson goes over to Washington tonight, so in... You know, you had the President's Bowl last weekend, President's kind of thing in volleyball tonight. Jefferson at Washington. Sioux Falls Roosevelt travels down to Yankton tonight. And then in Class A, the Madison Bulldogs, who last year the T-Titans had one win. That was against the Madison Bulldogs mm-hmm. last year. They started out hot this year. They're 7-1, and they're at Sioux Falls Christian tonight, who's 4-2. And then EPJ, Elk Point Jefferson, 2-4. And West Central, who the Titans just played a week ago, West Central's 3-1. So that's some games to look forward to tonight. So I will be on my YouTube watching some volleyball tonight.
And certainly it's a big season, and it's off and running for South Dakota Prep Volleyball for the latest and greatest and those rankings, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. That's Les Schroeder. Always a blast to see you, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Yes. That was fun.
All right, Les Schroeder, our guest here, hour number one of overtime. When we come back, we're going to touch every single base of the sports world. I'm talking whip-around coverage, Major League Baseball, a look at some odds, college football primer, and we're going to bring back Dings and Dents for another week here, brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Who's dinged up? Who's dented up? Who's hurt? Who's injured? Everything in between. The Niners, the San Francisco 49ers, are very dinged up. Quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, and more. They got it all. We're going to dive in. Dings and Dents, whip around coverage, Major League Baseball, a look at some odds and more. That's next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime on ESPN Sioux Falls.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
On this Tuesday, September 9th edition of Overtime. Great stuff moments ago. South Dakota Prep Talk centered around South Dakota High School Volleyball with our friend Les Schroeder, affiliated with that T-Titan program down there, talking about how good Harrisburg looks, how good they can be, and their hunt for another state title. Great preview there. You can listen back to that when the podcast link comes available at the top of the hour at ESPNSiouxFalls.com and also on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Let's dive right into your news of the day. Whip around coverage, latest from Major League Baseball, dings and dents, and a little bit more on college football on the way. But let's start here with college football chatter. Biff Poggy. That's right. That's a name and a heck of a person. Will be Michigan's interim head coach for the next two games as Sharon Moore serves his suspension stemming from the NCAA's ruling on the school's advanced scouting case. Poggy will coach the Wolverines this weekend against CMU, and it's notable in our neck of the woods because he'll be the coach on September 20th when Michigan squares up Nebraska in Lincoln. Moore can coach Michigan throughout the practice week as the suspension isn't triggered until midnight on Saturday. Unlike former Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh, whose Big Ten imposed suspension back in 23 only kept him off the sideline on game days, Moore cannot participate in practices or other team-related activities during his actual suspension. More on Biff Poggy, who, if you've never seen a picture of, is an interesting-looking individual. He's a John Daly-esque style coach. He wears cut-off sleeves. He looks like he just woke up from an extended nap in the grass at a Jimmy Buffett concert, and he's ready to rumble. and be the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines for the next 2 weeks. CMU this weekend at Nebraska next weekend. Wolverines coming off a loss at Oklahoma, and Poggy most recently was the head coach at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, the 49ers, where he went 6-16 over 2 years before being let go with two games remaining just last season. Get to know your new head coach there in Ann Arbor for 2 weeks, Biff Poggy there in Michigan. A Big 12 officiating crew. I like this a lot in terms of accountability. Big 12 officiating crew has been reprimanded following a rules violation in Missouri's ultimate win against Kansas on Saturday, according to a conference announcement. The play in question occurred in the first quarter after Missouri's first touchdown when the Tigers were flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Kansas blocked the extra point attempt and the ensuing kickoff was illegal. Big 12 officials allowed a punt to occur on a free kick in violation of Rule 2, Section 16, Article 6, in case you're into that sort of thing, of NCAA football rules. That Big 12 officiating crew has been removed from its next scheduled assignment on Friday. Controversial call occurred in one of the most played series in D1 football, but good on them. Referees are people, mistakes are made, that's fine, but sideline them for a week, reprimand, whatever you want to do, but get it right and enforce the rules correctly. By the way, they got it up on the screen here. This is a perfect time to ask about this. Last night in the ball game, we saw the mismanaged clock late by the Chicago Bears. I got two bones to pick here. First, we're going to talk about TJ Hockenson's fumble / non-fumble. Catches the football and is on his knees. Has not been contacted yet, and the Bears player comes in and punches the football first out of his hands. Fumble or not fumble? What's your take? To me, it's contact. But it's on the football. Is the football a part of the body? I don't know the exact rule. I would be curious to see exactly what a referee would say after a long review of that moment. And secondly here, I'm really tired of the analytics movement for specific reasons in football. For instance, and this came back and helped both teams in instances here. But first, we're going to start with the Bills on Sunday Night Football. They were down by 15 points. They score a touchdown. The score, the deficit is now 9. The analytics in that game, and this is before the Ravens got up by 15 even later in the game, by the way, but the analytics in the game tell you, oh, go ahead and go for 2. But for me, the Bills did not get it, and that puts them down by 9. So you go from down 15 to down 9. You still need 2 touchdowns or a touchdown and a field goal to get the lead back. Now, if you would have just kicked the extra point, you keep it in doubt. It's an 8-point game. It's a 1-possession game. And your opponent feels a little bit more urgency here. So for me, I don't understand. Yes, the numbers probably back it up. The value of information, X, Y, Z, knowing exactly what you need to go get. But I think that situation, to me, you should go ahead and kick the extra point, keep it an 8-point game. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm archaic or both. But that's fine. And then last night, with the Chicago Bears driving, they had 1 timeout left. There were 2 minutes and 40 seconds to go. They're well within field goal range. Their kicker stinks, as we know. But to me, you're down by 10 points. You got 2.5 minutes. You need a field goal and a touchdown to tie the game. Go ahead and kick the field goal. As soon as you get into comfortable distance, kick the field goal, make it 7. And then you don't have to worry about the 2-minute warning getting bled off the clock on a kickoff that should be out of bounds or squibbed or intentionally out of bounds, or just do an onside kick because you can't allow the Minnesota Vikings to get a first down anyway. The game's over. Not well thought out last night, but I'm a big fan of get the points you need when you need them as soon as possible. Keep the clock on your side. Don't have to use your timeouts. You can use the 2-minute warning. It made too much sense for me last night, but that's my 2 cents on some officiating gaffes and some coaching gaffes over the weekend in the NFL. And lastly here, in terms of movers and shakers in college football, how about the Colorado Buffaloes are going with a new quarterback, and it's not the highly experienced veteran guy they got from the portal, and it's not the 5-star athlete they got via recruiting in Julian Lewis. They're going to start Ryan Staub as their starter at Houston for Friday night's game. Staub began the season as Colorado's 3rd-string quarterback, an afterthought behind veteran Caden Salter and decorated freshman Julian Lewis. After shining against the Delaware Blue Hens on Saturday, completing 7 of 10 passes for a 157 and 2 scores, the staff has indicated that Staub will be the starter this week, according to sources. Salter entered the season with a 23-6 record as a starter, and Lewis ranked number 12 overall in the class of 2025, but they're going to go with QB3 in that matchup against Houston coming up on Friday. Speaking of college football, a look at that spread right now for the game. Colorado, a 6-point dog on the road. And by the way, the ACC tilt on Thursday night. NC State, a touchdown favorite, even 7 right now on the road in Winston-Salem against the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. Let's dive right in, shall we, to another edition of Dings and Dents. Everyone has days where they might feel a little dinged up or dent it up. Just ask about Bears fans today or maybe Bears fans TV sets. Visit Wayne and Mary's here in Sioux Falls to get some great advice and get yourself back on the path to health. Find Wayne and Mary's on the east side at 24th and Sycamore or in central Sioux Falls off of Kiwanis Avenue. That is Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Dings and Dents right now. By the way, at Wayne and Mary's, the 55th anniversary celebration and sale going on all month long. Buy one, get one, 50% off on all Wayne and Mary's labeled products. The Niners are very dinged and dented up. They know they'll be without star tight end George Kittle for a little while as he deals with a hamstring injury, but they also could be minus their starting quarterback Brock Purdy this weekend against the New Orleans Saints. Coach Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that Kittle will sit out a few weeks. That's the quote, because of the right hamstring injury he suffered in the eventual win against the Seahawks. Though that announcement was expected, Kittle sat out most of the game because of the injury. Shanahan added that the quarterback has left shoulder and toe injuries, with more serious one with the toe. So we'll see about the Niners, and that's not where it ends either on this Dig and Dent segment here in hour number one. The Niners already have several injury issues, and there's one more on the way. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, receiver Juwan Jennings, who just got a bunch more incentives added to his contract, he's got a shoulder injury, dealing with a calf injury during training camp, now has a shoulder, but it's not believed to be serious. Did have an MRI that has not revealed any issues. Club still awaiting results from a CT scan, but Juwan Jennings, probably the least severe of that big three injuries impacting the Niners. Kittle, couple weeks, Purdy, questionable, and Juwan Jennings, no official designation yet, but doesn't appear to be overly serious for the wide receiver. Over to baseball now. Christian Yelich returned to the lineup for the Brewers last night after their DH missed 5 games because of lower back soreness. Yelich batted 4th, going 1-of-4 in the Brewers' 5-0 loss to the Rangers. 33-year-old had played in 132 of Milwaukee's 144 games this year before the opener in Texas. Back soreness, and Yelich back in the Brewers' lineup as of last night. The Angels have placed catcher Logan Ohapi on the 7-day concussion injured list after he was hit in the head by Jacob Wilson's backswing. The Angels also scratched outfielder Joe Adell from their starting lineup on Monday against Minnesota due to vertigo, of all things. That's a little concerning there for the Angels. Logan Ohapi going to be on concussion in the injured list. And the good news for Trey Turner and the Phillies is that even if the NL batting leader is out because of a strained right hamstring, according to ESPN.com, that could cost him the rest of the regular season, Philly shortstop does expect to be healthy in time to play in October. Manager Rob Thompson said before Aaron Nola tossed 6 shutout innings in a win last night that the MRI results on Turner's hamstring were better than expected. They're on the short list of World Series favorites, and that is big news considering when you might get him back. And Trey Turner going to be back for the postseason. At least that's the feel right now in Major League Baseball. And lastly here, moving through some other injury items, Texas coach Steve Sarkisian quickly dismissed a question about Arch Manning's health after social media videos, the always reliable social media videos and news of the Longhorns quarterback, set off a weekend of speculation. The reporter said Monday that Manning appeared to be having throwing pains and Sarkisian cut him off. According to who? Arch said that to you, Sarkisian said. The reporter responded to Sarkisian that he had not spoken to Manning, but videos circulating on social media appeared to show the quarterback grimacing in pain. That's a fact. It looked a little funky. Maybe it's just, I need to be better in this moment. but it looked like a little bit of pain. If we're being honest about it, social media is anything but reliable. News, video, audio, pictures, anything. But it did appear that Arch was, I don't know, a little dinged and dented up. But here's what Sarkisian had to say in response. I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom. That's the quote. So I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that. That's what Sarkisian said in response. Weird response for Steve Sarkisian. Just give us an update. Say he's fine. Yeah, he's got nothing going on. Little soreness. Maybe he had a bad throw. Who knows what it is? But the bathroom chatter there for Steve Sarkisian, funky to say the least. And lastly, sprinkle of tennis here. Jack Draper, American, will miss the remainder of the tennis season with a left arm injury that forced him to pull out of a second round match at the U.S. Open. The seventh ranked player who reached the U.S. Open semis last year has reportedly been bothered by the injury most of the season and was diagnosed with a bone bruise following a loss to Marin Cilic in the second round at Wimbledon. Jay Draper saying, it's very difficult for me to accept as I was building some incredible momentum this year, but he's going to miss the remainder of the tennis season. And lastly, on dings and dents here, how about the Green Bay Packers? Let's count them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 14 players on the injury report yesterday for Green Bay. Zane Anderson, Aaron Banks, Brenton Cox, Matthew Golden, Nate Hobbs, Jordan Love, Bo Melton, Micah Parsons, Jaden Reed, and so many more. Hopefully they get healthy. Thursday night football home to the Commanders, and Washington has a total of 7 players on their injured list, including, intriguingly, quarterback Jaden Daniels, running back Austin Eckler, defensive tackle Deron Payne, and a pass rusher Dietrich Wise Jr. We'll see who's dinged up, who's dented up, who's hurt, who's injured. That's Dings and Dents brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center, WayneandMarys.com. And again, all month long, great giant giveaways at the end of the month featuring prizes like a $165 red light therapy mask and a $155 gift card. Celebrate 55 years with one of Sioux Falls' great local businesses, Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. We know natural health. We promise you a look at the odds, so away we go. Major League Baseball World Series odds. There is a new favorite in town, but not so fast. They're tied with the Dodgers. The Phillies and Dodgers have identical odds. First time this year we can say that, plus 475. Finally, the Dodgers have been caught. Those two at that first tier, plus 475. Yankees at plus 700. They're playing better baseball. Tigers plus 750. And the Brewers rounding out the top five at plus 800. Now, teams rounding out the top 10, Toronto, San Diego, Houston, Seattle, and the Mets. Cubs have been in 11th pretty much for the last 2 months, and that's where they stand again today. The 11th best odds to win the World Series this year belong to the Northside Cubbies at plus 1,600. Those odds courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. That's our number one. Believe it or not, we are done with half the show. Dings and Dents, always a fun segment brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Two great locations here in the 605. Check them out for more information, WayneandMarys.com. Headlines, highlights, NFL chatter, J.J. McCarthy praise, and more on the way. And the power rankings for week 2 of the NFL season. How high are the Vikings going? Not so fast, my friend. Not super high in my rankings, but they are making the cut. As promised, they get the job done. They were sitting at 11. I told you, they'll likely be in the top 10 with a win over the weekend. And boy, howdy, did they get one last night. Minnesota over the Bears, come from behind fashion. The Bears are going to bear, and we saw it last night at Soldier Field. Take the break. Come back. Hour number 2 next on Overtime.